Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon, and welcome to a beautiful day in Baltimore. We've got so much sun in this city right now, not only because of the actual meteorological conditions, but because we are anticipating Harbol this Sunday. We've got so much sun because of what it really is and because of the Ravens that we'll be glad to share that sun with you. Oh my, go Ravens! Such a fabulous day, and I have to share with you something. This has nothing to do with jazz or the show, but I just read about Nicole Kidman. She has sworn off Botox because she said it froze her face. She couldn't move her face. So she finally got movement of her face back. Ladies, I'm telling you, please don't do it. Don't ever inject that poison in your face. You'll wind up looking like Joan Rivers, and none of us want that. Anyway, I digress. We have a wonderful show today. It's got spark, it's got fire, it's got surprises. You are not going to see these things coming. And we've got Thelgen Allen coming up at 2 o'clock, which is the next hour, wherever you are. This is 1 o'clock Eastern Time to start. And then in the second hour of the show, Thelgen Allen, world-class trumpeter. I cannot tell you how glorious this individual is. Shoo! And who he has played with. We'll get to all of that, and we'll get to a classic right now. This particular individual, God rest his soul, has something very much to do with the second artist that you'll hear on the show today. We start with Maynard Ferguson with the Rolf Harris Mueller Orchestra and Olé on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
vibrato, vibrato, vibrato. Everyone's a winner, bargains galore. That's why you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before that name goes on. One tenth of a dollar, one tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-$4. We got a year-end clearance. We got a white sale and a smoke-damaged furniture. You can drive it away today. Act now, and receive as our gift. Our gift to you, they come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spill, you tired of kitchen drudgery, everything must go. Going out of business, going out of business, going out of business sale. 50% off original resale price, skip the middle man. Don't settle for less, how do we do it, how do we do it? Volume, volume, turn up the volume. Ah, you are ready to advertise. Don't hesitate, don't be caught with your drawers down. Don't be caught with your drawers down. Step right up, step right up. That's right, it plays and chops and dice and slice. Never stops, lasts a lifetime, mows your lawn. And it mows your lawn and it picks up the kids from school. It gets rid of unwanted facial hair. It gets rid of embarrassing age spots. It delivers a pizza and it lengthens and it strengthens. And it finds that slipper that's been at large under the chaise lounge for several weeks. Plays a mean rhythm master. It makes excuses for unwanted lipstick on your collar. And it's only a dollar. Step right up. It's only a dollar. Step right up. Cause it forges your signature. Not completely satisfied. Mail back on you. Voice the product for complete refund of price of purchase. Step right up. Please allow 30 days for delivery. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. You can live in it. Live in it. Laughing it. Loving it. Swimming it. Sleeping it. Living it. Swimming it. Laughing it.
Thank you.
sweet mercy, that is what you call hybrid. Tom Waits has never been played on the show before. He certainly has been played in this house because my son is a fan. But I was doing some checking from back in the day about Tom Waits, and I discovered that there was a part of his life's journey, and Lord, there needs to be a film about this man's journey. Back in the 70s, when he was making the transition from being a falling down drunk to getting clean. And this particular album, Small Change, back in the summer of 1976, was that precipice where he needed to jump off the cliff or hang on by his fingernails and get back on. It was getting to be that serious. Get Right Up is part of that deep sarcasm that one goes through when one sometimes makes the transition that is this heavy. Heavily jazz-influenced. Drummer Shelly Mann was on the drums for this, and just so cool. Lou Tobacken on tenor sax and Jim Hughart on bass. That voice, that Tom Waits voice, unlike any others, influenced by Raymond Chandler, Charles Bukowski, Louis Armstrong, Dr. John, Howlin' Wolf. Just an amazing array of different kinds of people who crept into his head. But there's something about Tom Waits that was able to create his own sound and using all that pain to jump back into giving us some healing. There's a song on here that reminds me of Tony Bunn. Four Sheets to the Wind in Copenhagen. And there's a couple of other songs that will just rivet you. Matter of fact, he said something about the album and about his particular journey that was just so amazing. He, this is a quote, tried to resolve a few things as far as this cocktail lounge, maudlin, crying in your beer image that I have. There ain't nothing funny about a drunk. I was really starting to believe that there was something amusing and wonderfully American about being a drunk. I ended up telling myself to cut that shit out. So, with that said, if you ever come across the album cover, Small Change, it's not that you're going to be able to find that in your local record store, if you indeed are fortunate enough to have a record store. But on the cover is a, let us say, a provocative pose by a topless dancer. And the dancer is Cassandra Peterson, also known as Elvira. Just to let you know a little bit of background on Tom Waits, and we don't even know what the relationship was. We don't necessarily want to know. But he is an amazing individual who is still doing his thing today. He has outlived a few folks, and many others are surprised at that, bless his heart. Mike MacArthur was the second track we heard. Filthy McNasty, yoo-hoo, from Feels Like Home, the CD that's going to drop in late February. But, of course, we have a few of these tracks because Mike MacArthur was a guest on the show some weeks ago. He's just wonderful. Get a hold of Feels Like Home if you can. Rick Braun is on it. The Two Jeffs, Lorber and Golub. Brian Bromberg, Uncle Brian, did a sizable job with production on this. Alex Acuna on percussion. Mike just came back from NAMM, the National Association of Music Merchants. And I understand he did very well at NAMM in L.A. Our good friend Yolanda Bell was at NAMM as well, taking some beautiful pictures. Mike MacArthur, you know what? It just seemed to be appropriate to play him after a former boss who was no longer with us, Maynard Ferguson, who passed away in 2006. It was actually Maynard Ferguson with the Rolf Hans Mueller Orchestra, and that was from 1967, a song called Olay from Trumpet Rhapsody. And this particular album garnered quite a few stars on the Amazon site because, as one person said, it featured the natural acoustics of Maynard's trumpet. He could make those high notes seem effortless. And I understand from Mike that working with Maynard was just such an anointing, so blessed and so actually unexpected, because Mike had just finished up school and Maynard tapped him to come on board with the band. What a learning experience going all over the world with Maynard Ferguson, that kind of reputation, which had its ebb and flow. And something that you might not know about Maynard that I found fascinating, I have to tell my son about this, maybe he'll hear because maybe he's listening in the next room. But Maynard got very much involved. Actually, he and his lifelong wife, they got involved with the concept espoused by Timothy Leary back in the 60s. So actually Maynard, his wife, and the family moved to the compound that Timothy Leary had near Harvard University back in the day. And Maynard got very much involved with Indian-based spirituality. And it really changed the tone of his work. And some folks in the traditional jazz world didn't quite understand this. But Maynard was who he was. Very much an individual. He did some work that people had questioned as to why he would do. But what a story and a bulk of work he left behind, 1928 to 2006. And I bless the day that he and Mike MacArthur got together, because Mike would tell you, as he did the day he was on the show, that if it wasn't for Maynard, maybe he wouldn't be where he is today, and he is certainly in the catbird seat. Woo! Love those stories. You know what? We've got Thelgen Allen, another trumpeter who is inspired by a lot of folks, but namely, and we'll find this out, Clifford Brown in the next hour. He, born and bred in Baltimore, Thelgen is one of those young cats that when you see him, the wind is knocked out of your sail for all the best reasons. He's exceptional. And he appears to be, young as he is, a throwback to what was great back then. Oh, it's just amazing to get it. When you see him on a stage, as I did a little while ago, that was outside, and see him with an amazing array of other talent on the stage. And when Thelgen comes up to do his thing, everybody steps back because they know that they are seeing some kind of vision of why they got involved in jazz. This is no joke. So he's coming up next hour, and I'm going to play a legend for you right now who is going to be on the show. We just talked about this the other day in March, because Bobby Humphrey is coming to the region. She is something else, man. And this is from her Passion Flute CD back in the mid-90s. Title track for you, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Bobby Humphrey on flute. Oh,
just to be where you are. No matter where you roam, I'll never be far behind. Who cares where the path may wind, as long as I find you. Though the melody dies, the song lingers on, and a thousand goodbyes won't convince me you're gone. I'll follow you, my love. You will never be free. To the end of the earth, till you've given your love to me. Yeah.
Finesse and genius, that is Jackie Ryan from the brand new Listen Here with John Clayton and Friends. To the ends of the earth. Oh, my God. Anything that is coming from her gilded throat is just so amazing. And here's the thing about Jackie that I love. Jackie was on the same show, by the way, that Mike MacArthur was on a few weeks ago. And she talked at length about this CD. She was going through a very painful time in her life. And it took everything that she had to muster up, whatever it was, to get her to that studio. Because, you know, you can't change the studio once it's etched in stone. People's time is very important. So, you know, with all the problems that people have in their lives, including the death of a family member, you've got to get out of bed and get yourself to the studio. And that is indeed what happened. There was a a family member that was presumed lost from an accident, and they did find the family member, and it was not a happy ending. So Jackie found herself in the situation where she had to console other family members and try to console herself. And whatever it was, God, that got her to the studio, she did. And John Clayton and Gerald Clayton and Obed Calvert, and just seeing the pictures of these beautiful men, Ricky Woodard and Gilbert Castellanos, and who am I missing here? An array of these fabulous people involved with this project, Joel Moss. It just made Jackie's job wonderful, because this was a little dream for her, and it came to pass. And now she is absolutely reaping the harvest, because, check this out, she was the most added and the biggest gainer, according to Jazz Week. And this is no surprise, because her previous effort with Cyrus Chestnut and a cast of beautiful characters, Doozy, was number one on the jazz charts for, 7 weeks? So it looks like this is going to be the same. Jackie Ryan, her album Listen Here, and the track that you heard, To the Ends of the Earth. Amazing. And look, I apologize for the interruption. I know that Blog Talk Radio is going through some major changes. They've got an influx of new people who are taking advantage of BTR. There is changes in this system, the way Facebook is facing changes. So for a bit, we were disconnected during Lonnie Liston Smith, and I apologize, but you need to know a little bit about Lonnie Liston Smith and the Cosmic Echoes. Lonnie had left Miles Davis in 1974, hence Expansions, this glorious CD with the only cover on the album being by Horace Silver, a track called Peace. And that was part of Lonnie Liston Smith's whole scenario. He truly wanted to give music to the masses that was all about peace. This was given such high accolades by a number of people, and the personnel on here was just crazy. Percussion, Lawrence Killian, Michael Carbon, Leopoldo, Cecil McBee on bass, soprano sax, David Hubbard on tenor sax, brother Donald Smith, also on flute, on drums, Art Gore, just what you would call a precursor to what we have come to know as smooth jazz, but without the hollow phoniness. Did I just say that out loud? I'm sorry. Yeah. Lonnie Liston Smith, living in Virginia, his dad was part of the harmonizing four that was so well thought of that Eleanor Roosevelt invited the group to perform at her husband Franklin Delano Roosevelt's special funeral service at the White House. So Lonnie comes from this great stock, living in Virginia. Saw him a while ago. He was at Club 347, because Lonnie is well known in Baltimore, went to Morgan State University, and played with a whole lot of folks in this town, then went to New York, played with Art Blakey, Pharoah Sanders, Max Roach, who didn't have a keyboardist in his group but made an exception for Lonnie, just has one of those big, fat histories. And maybe Felton Allen can shed some light on that when he comes during the next hour, because Felton and Lonnie know about each other, and I'll bet there are some stories. We heard, too, from Bobby Humphrey, Passion Flute. Bobby's going to be on the show in March. He's going to be playing at a place called the Blue Dolphin in Gambrills, Maryland. Local folks will know that place. And just so you know a little bit about Bobby, what you need to know is that Dizzy Gillespie saw her at Southern Methodist in Texas as part of a talent competition. Dizzy said, please come to New York. Your talent is so worthy. She did. She was one of the only females to be signed to Blue Note 1972, and she made her mark early on. She played at the Apollo. And the rest was history. She was in Baltimore a few years ago. She came to town with Ronnie Law. They were playing at this big, big gig in Baltimore, outdoor festival. They wanted to come to support a local keyboardist, Daoud Saeed, because they heard so much about him. Daoud does the beginning and the end music for this particular radio show. And it was a delightful day. Oh, you just know. All right, let's get to some more music before Thelgen comes our way. I wanted to make sure I played this last week, and I blew it. I did not. We are not going to miss it this week because not only is he a friend of mine who I adore, but he's turned out a beautiful project, so much so that the Washington area musicians have decided that Quiet Nights is in consideration for one of their albums of the year. This is Ron Kearns and friends, Quiet Nights, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. A little bit about this, and actually, as far as the background information, Felton is one of those folks that, of all the people I've had to interview on the show, he is one of those beautiful characters that I know little about, And that's what makes him so mysterious. Whenever I have seen him do his thing, I've always wondered, okay, he's got this charisma on stage, and where did he get that? Where did he learn to just channel what he does, looking like this contemporary 2013 guy? But meanwhile, you're thinking of the 1940s, maybe even before that. But we'll find out now. What you just heard is something from this amazing, brand new CD, Universal Language. What you heard is Life as We Knew It, which kind of changed for me when I saw Elgin Allen do his thing the first time. That was pretty anointed. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Hey, you, how you doing? Elgin, are you there? Elgin?
Hello?
Hi, there you are.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm just doing great. I was a little, my heart just sank a little bit because we had technical problems last week, and my son had called me before the show started to make sure everything was cool with the phone. You didn't get to hear Life as We Know It, and we're going to hear two more tracks before all is said and done. Tell us about you, because you are one of those mysterious people that I don't know a whole lot about.
I'm just a guy. I was born and raised in Baltimore.
Just a guy. Listen to you.
born and raised in Baltimore. You know, I went to Baltimore School for the Arts in Randallstown High School, and started playing trumpet at. Yeah, let me go back to that. I started playing trumpet at 12 years old.
Wow.
And how I got into that, one day I went up to my room and turned on 88.9, and I heard this solo, and I think I listened to the end of the song. The solo was amazing. It was the song was Joy Spring. It turned out to be Clifford Brown, and after I heard that solo, I said, wow, that's ridiculous. I want to try and do that too. So I like begged my mom to get a trumpet, and after a couple months, she got me one, and that's how I got started.
And you went to Peabody Conservatory, didn't you?
Yep.
And you know what? Bless your little heart. You just strike me as being that humble kind of guy. You really did make some inroads early. How did you first get the attention of folks who recognized that you had this talent?
I guess just going from different jam sessions and stuff around town and just linking up with different guys. You know, when I first got my trumpet, my mom took me to a trombone player, Marvin Thompson, you know, Mo Horns took me to that guy, and I, you know, sat under him for a while. And that was my first real introduction to, you know, the brass style and a lot of horn section stuff and just lines and stuff like that. And then after that, I studied with a guy named Steve Carrington at this Coppin State Jazz program. You know, and just started listening to. They introduced me to an array of different cats to listen to. So I really got into my listening game and just shedding more through that. And, you about to say something?
Oh, listen to you. You caught me taking a breath. Yes, I did want to say something because here's what I love when I do research about certain kinds of folks. Like, for example, Bobby Humphrey and I just talked in the past couple of days. Bobby Humphrey is coming to the Baltimore area in March, and I thought, okay, let's play a track by her today on the show. So I found out that Bobby, when she was at Southern Methodist University, she was in a talent competition, and Dizzy Gillespie heard her and said, you know what, young lady, I think you need to come to New York. Now, was there a moment like that for you where somebody that was in Baltimore or somebody from out of town said, you know what, you really have a lot of talent. Did you ever think of playing professionally?
I got that a lot when I started playing
I'll bet.
A cat named Clarence Ward. We used to play jam sessions and stuff all around town. I used to hear it from a lot of people, like, you know, like, you should move to New York and, you know, you'll be real successful up there. And I went to college at a New School University up there. And it was great. I was up there for about a year and a half. I went up there with a lot of my friends. Tim Green went up there the same year. He went to Manhattan School of Music. And we all just caught the vibe of New York doing jam sessions and stuff like that and just watching those cats progress. And I actually left New York, you know, because I came back to go to Peabody Conservatory. And in a way, I wish I stayed in New York, but in a way, I'm very glad that I came back to Baltimore.
Are you? Tell me why.
I got a chance to, sit under and study with Gary Thomas at Peabody, and he totally changed my whole thinking of improv and just music, period.
Cool.
You know, just totally changed everything. If I stayed in New York, I could have just, you know, been another bebop player, which is great, you know, but Gary Thomas opened me up to a whole other way of thinking.
And you know what? You are the definitive person to have this question posed to, because you're young. And how old are you?
I'm 30.
30. God bless you. I've got clothes older than you. You've heard me say that joke probably. you know what? You need to let me know, because I'm real curious about your point of view. What do you think of the Baltimore jazz scene? And be honest as you can be, about how you perceive it to be.
Honest?
Yes.
I love everybody in Baltimore. I think the scene sucks. I think the scene really sucks, honestly. I think there could be more spots for jazz happening. You know, it's one club that's on Monday nights, you know. They had legendary clubs, you know, stuff like the Haven and stuff like that got shut down. Sportsmen, they had, like, Tall Marcus used to have, like, a series running jam sessions, but they wouldn't really last too long. Tim Green had something going on. People have stuff, but they really don't last that long. And it's sad because there's a lot of talented people here. And they don't really get to voice their talent or anything, you know, because there's nowhere to play. And then sometimes you go to play, places is so crowded. You know, you got cats that are waiting there for 2 and 3 hours, and they drive and they come from work and stuff like that, and they don't get to play and do anything. It's kind of sad. We need more outlets to play.
Yep. You know what? I just had a guy that I know, a young guy, that wrote to me this morning, and he's dating a celebrity who has ties to this town. And she's going back and forth from Baltimore to New York. And he wrote to me this morning and said, look, is there any place that I can take her tonight? What's happening around town tonight? And I couldn't find anything. I put the word out and nobody got back to me. You know, I don't know about you. I pretty much can surmise you feel the same way. But there needs to be a place that's a standard bearer for jazz pretty much every night of the week, because a lot of other cities in the U.S. have them, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yep.
D.C., I love D.C. They have a plethora of jazz clubs down there, and there's something happening every night.
That's right. No excuse, because, I mean, the history of Baltimore, just like my hometown, Philadelphia, oh, my God, between the two cities, are you kidding me? There
right.
is this wealth of honor that we and respect that we need to pay to folks who played, born and raised, and played in those cities. Maybe they moved out, but there's no excuse for it. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And how did you? I'm dying to ask you this about your first name. How did that come to be?
Actually, my father made that name up. It came from both my grandmothers. My father's mother's name was Thelma, and my mother's last name was Johnson, so they connected those two and got Belgian. So I'm named after two women, yeah.
I love that. I love that. And that's why you're so sensitive and you're playing, Belgian. I love it. How long did it take to get universal language together?
It took a while. Because I made all the tracks, like, on this program called Reasons, and they were tracks at first, and I had to put horn stuff over it. Then I had to, like, get the other musicians to come do studio sessions and, like, play over it or do some live sessions. So it took about 2 years to get everything done.
Wow. And we know so many, I mean, I know so many people that got to play on the CD. You feel free about talking about all the friends and the beautiful local and regional musicians that played with you on this, because it's really a wonderful piece of work, Belgian. No kidding.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. You had Craig Alston play on this, right?
Yep, Craig Alston played on it. He played on Air. He played on the first track. He played on... Yeah, he only played on one track. Dana Hawkins played on about four tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Baker. In fact, Dana Hawkins played on Life As We Know It. And,
that's awesome. That's a beautiful track. You sent me these pieces. No kidding. Blown away. Because it just sounds, and you've probably heard this, but... Belgian, no joke. When I saw you, I thought, okay, don't get dramatic about this, Trish. Come on now. Because I have a tendency to go, whoop, 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 when I see somebody that's that good as you. But then when I saw you a second and third time, I went, oh, no, forget it. Look, I'm going to be dramatic about this. You scare me.
Oh, wow.
You are what... why people decided to gravitate to jazz, because you really do pay homage to the masters and you want to get it right, but you infuse so much of you into it. You make that horn look effortless.
Oh, wow.
And here's when it was most obvious. When you were playing with Lafayette Gilchrist and the New Volcanoes, and you know you had some bad mofo cats up on that stage. And when you did your solo, I saw Carl Filippiak and Lafayette and Greg just take a step back. It was crazy. And I was talking to Marianne next to me, and I went, oh, look, it's young Miles Davis up there.
That's funny.
Oh, it was crazy. When have you become absolutely, like, naturally high when you've been on stage? Tell me about some of those instances.
You know, it took a while for that, because up until probably about 5 years ago, I used to be, like, heart beating real fast, nervous all the time. Like, when I played in front of audiences, I used to have this real nervous problem. But now... A couple of years ago, I just stopped caring about what I think people think, you know, and I just had to get over stuff like that. And I just really try to be honest. I just try to be honest with my horn and tell my story on whatever I'm playing, you know.
And who do you find yourself listening to these days? Do you deeply listen to other people, or do you not listen because you don't want to crowd your creativity?
For a while, I wasn't listening to a lot of people, but now I'm listening to a lot of, a guy named Miles Akazaki. He's a guitar player. I've been listening to his compositions. He's some next level stuff he's doing, and I've been checking out. And I'm always into piano players. I'm always checking out Brad Meldow.
Oh yeah.
I always listen to Gary Thomas too. He's just one of my favorite musicians. And actually a guy who's on the CD I listen to all the time too, because I think he's one of the best producers, underrated producers in the world. This guy named Doobie Powell from Connecticut. I listen to his music all the time.
And how did you get hooked up with him?
Actually, how I got hooked up with him, I was this is when I was playing with Ty Tribbett. I was playing with Ty Tribbett's band, and Thaddeus Tribbett gave me a CD, and I just listened to his CD so much, and I think he came into Baltimore once, and I got a chance to meet him. We exchanged numbers, and I sent him some tracks, and he sent me some stuff, and we just, no, actually, what happened, a friend of mine, Nick, played with him. Nick Brocken played trombone for Doobie Powell, and he told me he was coming to town. When he came to town, I actually got to meet him through Nick, and he had some studio stuff in Connecticut. He invited me to come up and play with him, so I went up, did the session, and we just kept in contact ever since. I sent him some music, sent it back, and, you know, just been a great relationship ever since.
That's cool. I love it when things happen. Just they flow from one kind of association to another. It's the best way life can happen. So obviously that was meant to be, you know.
Yep.
I love that. I'm going to delve into another track coming up soon, but tell us too. You have worked with some pretty heavy duty folks. You mentioned Ty Tribbett and Vicky Winans and Janet Jackson. How did that come to be?
Let me see. Ty Tribbett. I met Christopher Stevens. He's a trumpet player who played originally with Ty Tribbett. He came to Baltimore. They did a concert at my church, and I sat down. We just ended up setting after the concert for maybe 45 minutes and just talking and stuff like that. We exchanged numbers. They invited me up to a Bible study they had. They had, Bible studies every Monday night or something like that. So I went up to one of them, and they had rehearsals afterwards, and I stayed up. And, you know, everyone introduced me to Ty, and I met the whole group, and they invited me to play with them.
That is awesome. Oh, my gosh. Wow. how is he to work with?
He's great. He's a very creative guy. Very, very creative guy. Funny guy.
A lot of energy. He just strikes me as being the kind of person that there is just a well inside of him, and he bubbles over.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's cool. And Janet Jackson, that's a curious little association there. I love that.
That was through Mo Horns, through Marvin Thompson. We played on our last record, actually. I didn't actually perform with her. We played on our last record. We did some studio work up at Rodney Jerkins' studio in New Jersey, and that's how that came about. I never met her or anything, but, you know, I'm on her last record, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, you will. You'll meet her. There's no doubt. And Rodney Jerkins, that's pretty cool that you had a chance to get his attention, because I think that with Rodney, once you get his attention, you don't get far from his realm of thinking.
Right. Definitely right about that.
That's pretty awesome. Well, I love this. I want folks to hear more of Universal Language. And, of course, you know I'm going to ask you about Weirdo Kid.
Oh, man. Weirdo Kid. Yeah, that's definitely about me. It's about me. I was definitely a weird kid. I was telling a band a couple weeks ago in rehearsal. I was like, man, this song is really about me growing up in the 80s, man, a video game kid. But I used to walk around with, headphones on and, with a Beethoven score, walking around just reading symphony scores and stuff like that. So it was, and this weird stuff I used to do as a kid, so I just made a song dedicated to that.
And you know what? Weirdo kids are the hippest kids on the block these days, so your timing couldn't have been better.
Right.
Oh, this is awesome. The only complaint I have about this song is that it's not long enough, because it's 2 minutes and 38 seconds. But
yeah.
Woo! action-packed in those 2.5 minutes. This is Thelgen Allen, the great trumpeter we have in our midst here in the Baltimore, Washington area. Just one of those, and I don't know if you saw the post earlier, Thelgen, but honest to goodness, I said that I'm so glad that I'm talking to you now because I figure that I'm not going to be able to afford you next time around.
Wow.
Yes, for sure. This is from Universal Language Weirdo Kit on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out. Universal Language. Man, you know what? You must be getting some positive feedback from what folks have heard so far, aren't you?
I'm getting some positive feedback, yep.
Listen to you. Yeah, I'm getting some positive feedback. Oh, my God, wait till Downbeat and Jazz Times get a hold of this. Oh, Lord. So what are the circumstances? Has the CD dropped or when will it drop?
It actually dropped yesterday on iTunes, but next Thursday I'll have like physical actual copies of the CD for sale.
Awesome.
Something happened with the shipping. It was supposed to be in this week, but you know, got perspective next Thursday.
So folks can get a hold of it on iTunes, and then where else will it be available?
I guess wherever I'm doing shows. I'm actually going to have like a CD release in a couple of weeks, probably like mid or like late February.
Really? So, do you have any idea as to where? You can spread that word here if you want.
I'm not really sure on where exactly. I'll definitely post it on Facebook and all the sites and stuff like that and let people
sure.
know.
And I'll make sure I spread the word via the link that you have. So make sure you do one of those so we can know. Do you have any preference as to where you would like to have the CD release party?
Not really. People keep telling me about, like, that? Select Lounge or something like that, or like Latin Palace? I'm not really sure.
Why don't you look into Phase 2?
Phase 2.
Yeah,
that's actually not bad. The one on Howard Street?
I think it's on Charles. It used to be another place. I know that they were having a jam there, and I think that they're still doing some sort of jam during the week. But you know what? I'll send you the link so you can check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, because from what I know, they want to expand their horizons as far as jazz is concerned. Maybe I'm wrong, and they should be paying me for this endorsement. But and speaking of which, did you go to NAMM this week? The showcase and
nope.
the conference? Oh,
I didn't go to NAMM.
You have to go. You have
and
to make that.
I'll go next year.
Yes, and I'm not going to miss it next year because. Shoot, are you kidding me? If it's really, you know, going to be an all-encompassing sort of endeavor, and it's really the National Association of Music Merchants, then you could get some really cool deals on trumpets to endorse a particular kind, and I could get one for my microphone and headphones and stuff.
Right.
So a lot of people just clean up. What are your plans for 2013? You want to share any of them with us?
My plans for 2013, I'm really trying to build up my band and get them tight, really tight, so we can start doing like some shows and some festivals and stuff like that. So I guess the early part of the year, just rehearsing and getting tight, and then trying to book some shows and just stay working. Stay relevant.
Well, now, who's in your band?
We did a couple of shows. Will Spence is in the band, Curtis Jones, Dana Hawkins, Brian Wheatley, Mike Pryor, Nate Perry, Micah Smith on vocals, Clarence
cool.
Ward on tenor sax.
Well, that's awesome, because I know most of those names, because you know we're in the same city, and
right.
I just saw that somebody popped up in the way of an extra person on the line. Now I'm pretty sure that this person is here to speak to you, so we're going to find out who this is. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Don't be scared. 443-250, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Hello? Oh, maybe they got cold feet, Belgian. That's okay. I'll let them go. They want to listen. You still there with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'll not say the phone number, but sometimes folks want to call and say congratulations. Matter of fact, I posted that on your wall. If anybody wants to say way to go or whatever they want to say, they can do that. But
okay.
That's okay. Whoever is calling to say that to you will get back together with you privately.
Okay.
So you say that you want to keep what you're doing relevant. What does that mean?
That's a very good question.
Yes.
It means just staying, I guess being like a burning ember almost, you know, just being relevant and just having a long-lasting career and just being with the curve or ahead of the curve, you know, just always have your ear open, you know, for what's happening next.
Ahead of the curve. That's an interesting way to put it. And tell me how you perceive your music. If you were to describe your music, and I know that that might sound like a stupid question, but I don't think it is. How, because of your background and your inspirations, how do you see Felgen Allen? What would you like someone to write about you in regard to universal language?
It's funny. My homeboy Clarence and I were talking about that the other day. It's funny. We actually called it hybrid jazz.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. We called it hybrid jazz because it's like a, you know, a mixture of like electronic stuff. It's jazz influence, some of the lines of like jazz influence, and but the sound is real electric, and it's a real 2013 sound, I guess. So that's what I hear from it. And I don't know, I guess this, I don't want to sound arrogant or anything, but just cutting the edge, or just good music at the end of the day. That would be great to be, if someone described it like that. Just great.
See, you're not used to being arrogant. You're used to being humble, and you hesitate to even say anything about how cool you think this is. But you know that this has turned out really well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's certainly, it's a combination of what I perceive, my ear perceives to be straight ahead, but it's so big band swing contemporary on the other end of the spectrum. The closest thing that I've heard to this is Brian Bromberg's Compared to That. And Brian just pulled out the stoppers because he definitely wanted to make this as far removed from a smooth jazz project that he's constantly being boxed into. He didn't want that.
Right.
He wanted to absolutely go full throttle, and he did. And it sounds like this, and you on this Universal Language project, both, it's like this exhilarating ride. You just don't know where you're going to get off next. It's like a train on a track bound for I don't know where. Pretty cool. So if you were a critic for Jazz Times and you had the absolute reins on what that person could say about you, what would you like him or her to say?
This guy is an imagination grabber. He's,
ooh.
You know, he manipulates sound. You know, he's not boxed in to, you know, to just even being categorized. He's just making great music.
That's awesome. Yep, you're all about the creativity, and that shows in this, for sure. And this caller is back. Let's see if he or she has gotten their act together. 443-250. Hello, you're talking. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
This is Jay Soul, and I am here to. What's up, Felgen?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I just called to congratulate you on a new project. You know what I mean? It's a hard-working brother right here.
Oh, I know.
He worked with me several times. And he's a great talent for Baltimore. And I hope that everybody that's listening will pick up his project and support his music and his movement and what he's trying to bring to the city.
Awesome.
Wow, definitely appreciate that, man. Looking forward to your record, too.
Yeah. He's on my new album, and he's going to be playing some more album. He doesn't know that yet, but he's playing some more on my new album.
He does
so,
now.
I'm looking forward to that. He doesn't know, but he knows now. So, you know, get up. We'll be working some more in the studio. But congratulations, brother, and I hope you have a lot of success with the album.
Definitely appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Thank you. That's great.
All right, peace.
Peace. Awesome. Yay. That worked out well. Now, explain the circumstances of this now. I mean, because you've worked with a lot of people, and how I first knew about you, Feljan, In Pursuit of the Ninth Man, Todd Marcus.
Todd Marcus, yep.
Yep. Todd Marcus had some sizable talent, and of course he's not going to surround himself with piddling folks because he's not piddling himself. He's aces. So, and actually Craig Alston and I had a little conversation about you one day, and of course everything that comes out of his mouth regarding you is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. So explain the work that you're doing with this gentleman who just called.
Oh, Jay Soul?
Yeah.
I forgot how, I can't even remember how I met him. I met him probably through Craig Alston or Joel Mills, doing some projects with them. And, you know what? No, we did a show at Select Lounge, and he was an artist featured that week. And we would end up doing some horn parts behind him, and sent him, I guess he reached out to Craig or something, he needed some trumpet on the track, and I was able to play trumpet on his track, you know, that's how we pretty much met. I met him years ago, but, you know, this is our first time actually working on something together.
Yeah. And you know, going back to that subject that we had at the beginning of the show, it's been a real topic for conversation lately. Do you feel this way? Do you feel that since you have everything to do with Baltimore, do you feel as though for folks who are involved in jazz and maybe music in general in this city, in order to get the respect that people offer to you, you have to go out and come back? Or can you remain here and get the respect and support that you think you deserve?
I believe you can remain here and get the respect and the support you deserve, you know. You just got to work hard. I mean, it just looks good when you go somewhere and you become successful and then you come back. It's like, man, you really went out and left. But, you know, you can do that here. It's almost harder to do something here when everyone knows you, and you got to step out of yourself and put something out there different so people can respect you to get the support and support, you know. So just,
well,
you can stay here and be successful.
And would that be still the case if, for example, this is another subject for conversation with a lot of folks in town. If you play these jams for free and then have a paid gig in town, is that cool? Or do you keep your jam playing to a minimum so that folks don't get oversaturated with you?
Yeah, that's fun. I have to always talk about that. It's kind of a delicate balance with that. You want to get yourself, you know, you want people to know who you are so you can get more good stuff, but you don't want to whore yourself out and just, you're like, you know what, I ain't got to pay to go see him. He plays every week.
Exactly.
At Bucky's every week, so I got to, you know.
Why am I paying for him now?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I always say don't whore yourself out, but, you know, don't be like a complete, you know, no one sees you. You know, you got to be seen for people to know you. So it's a delicate balance.
Oh, for sure. And would you, do your circumstances dictate now where you actually can do a tour? Are you ready, willing, and able to go wherever to support the CD?
I am.
Cool.
I am.
And where is it that you'd love to play. You have a festival in mind. You have a place to go to. You want to spend a lot of time in a certain area.
Mister, I always wanted to play the North Sea Jazz Festival.
Ooh, yes.
I always wanted to play that, and I always wanted to spend some time in, like, just over in Europe, you know, because they appreciate music way more over there. You know, I would just like to spend some time over there and just write music over there and just be inspired, just get away from Baltimore, even States for a while.
Yeah, I feel you. They would eat you up in Japan and in the UK for sure. And actually, you should be playing the Mid-Atlantic Jazz Festival too. I would love to see you front a band there, but I know it's just around the corner, so it's a little late to plan that. But there are some happening places in the spring and the summer and fall and winter too. It would be really cool. I don't know how you feel about this, because like past couple of years, it's definitely taken on this smooth jazz tone, and it's kind of making me sick. But the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival needs to have a pop of some true bona fide kick-arse jazz. And you could shake up a few folks there. So
I'd be into it. That would be great.
It would. And there's a lot of places, like not necessarily the venues, the so-called official venues of the festival, but so many great restaurants around town where you could play. They really need to balance that thing out. So, you know, if you need a little help, I'll be glad to help you shake some stuff.
Awesome. That'd be great.
It would be. You definitely need to be seen and heard. And whenever you're playing with somebody, you always make everybody shine. But you're really anxious to front your own band and do your own thing, aren't you now?
Most definitely.
How long have you been waiting for this, Felgen?
I've always wanted to front my own band since I was like maybe 16, 17. You know, I've always been a side man helping everybody else's dreams, so it's about time for me to start helping my own dream, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And do you see any offshoots of Universal Language? Do you see something on the horizon happening whereby you might want to or not join a label?
That would be good. I actually was signed to a label, but I took so long to put the record out. I think they like just dropped me. I don't think they thought I was serious. I was, you know, I just kept writing songs. Universal Language actually has like probably more than like 20 or 30 songs. So I just put 13 songs on there. I've been working with cats and just working on a whole bunch of stuff. So I was signed to a label. You know, if I got picked up again by another label, that would be awesome. You know, because that would help out with just getting the music out there a little bit more. Because I'm doing it pretty much myself and just friends and stuff now.
Oh, I know how that goes. And you know, the quandary about the label is that you want to stay true to what you do, especially you,
right?
Because you started out young. You played with a lot of really bad cats, and you have a lot of creativity. So to quell that, to stop that in order for a label to make you into somebody else is not what you want. But you're going to be tough enough to be able to say when that time comes, yay or nay.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think the world of you. I always have, honestly, Felgen.
I really appreciate that.
You are you're what makes me excited about jazz and makes me want to keep on doing the show, believing that someday there's going to be a scenario where And you thought of this word, too. There will be a hybrid jazz terrestrial radio station playing jazz 24 hours a day, and Felge and Allen music will be in the regular rotation.
Great. Awesome.
So you got your dream, I got mine.
Right.
We've got another song here, and I love this, and I thought it would be so cool to end our interview with this, because the track is like almost 7 minutes long. Tell me about this glorious piece called Freedom.
Freedom. Oh, yeah. This is it's one of my favorites on the CD.
Shoot.
I really stepped out the box and did some stuff I normally don't do. I actually I played trumpet, flugelhorn, stuff on here. Played piano. I mean, Fender Rhodes and synth.
Really?
Did the vocal parts. And Tyree Brown did the piano. Adam Johnson did the bass. Lee Pearson played drums on it.
Ooh, Lee Pearson! Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Awesome. This is one of those songs that gives people chills. And I don't know what you had in mind by the title, and maybe you can tell us, or you want to keep that a secret, that's cool. But when you say universal language, it really is the instrumental effect of what people can perceive in their own way means so much. And is that what you had in mind, Belgian?
That's exactly that, man. You know, like, I could go to China right now and say, "What's up, dog?" And, like, they wouldn't understand what I'm saying, but I could hum some piece of music that we all know that's universal, and that's something, that's a way of us communicating. You know, like, music really is the universal language.
Man, it really is. And hearing you doing jazz, I mean, I love that genre. And this is a whole nother subject, but when you are able to play jazz and have in mind the greats from the past, honoring them, adding your own, and thinking out of the box as you do, and not not play a little bit of jazz in your repertoire, but being a jazz artist who has all these influences coming into you, as opposed to being a soul or R&B or country artist that has some jazz that influences. You primarily are a jazz artist, and I thank God, because you're 30 years old. Is that okay with you to have that perception?
That's totally fine with me.
As opposed to, oh, yeah, I play jazz, too. You,
right, exactly.
You come out and say, this is who I am.
Right.
Oh, it's so cool. So thank you on behalf of thousands of us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you. Oh, my God, we appreciate you. Thanks for spending this kind of time. Keep us posted on the CD release party, will you?
Oh, most definitely.
We'll pound that mo into the ground to make sure people go.
Okay.
Okay. Felgen, thank you so much. We're going to play Freedom, and it's a beautiful day in Baltimore, even more so because you spent time with us, and we'll see you at that CD release party.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Trish.
Thanks, Felgen.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Felgen Allen, man, great background. Great present, great future. And you'll know why when you hear this. From Universal Language, this is Freedom on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So amazing to take in the whole length and breadth of Cuban music. And that particular song is from a work of art that was done in the mid to later 90s, the Buena Vista Social Club. Woo! Let me tell you about that, and let me try to get ducks in a row to explain this as succinctly as possible. In the 1940s, 1950s, this glorious music was put forth by the folks who used to congregate in Havana. It was a members club, the Buena Vista Social Club. And these were people who just love life, love social activities, love to share music, have some food. And I don't know how Ry Cooder, the great American guitarist who played with Captain Beefheart and the Stones, so many, had his own wonderful reputation, got together with Juan DeMarco Gonzalez, who was a Cuban musician. They thought it would be a wonderful idea to showcase some of these beautiful people that had played back then, some 50 years after the club had closed. So Buena Vista Social Club came to pass 1997 or so. And since that time, about, what, six players have passed on, including Ibrahim Ferrer, who sang the vocalization in that particular track, which was called Candela, a very, how shall we say, a song full of sexual innuendo, original song written by Faustino Oremos, and just done with an extended descarga, which translates into, in Cuban musician terms, an extended jam. Captivating, and the whole of the Buena Vista Social Club just sparked the imagination of so many people that in 1998, when the group, pretty much intact, what you heard on the recording, played in Amsterdam, a German director, Wim Wenders, filmed it, and it just became more of an impact on folks who are not familiar with the glorious musicianship of those who played all kinds of music, hybrid, if you will, in Havana, Cuba. Just wonderful. So thanks to my son again for making sure that I knew that this belonged in the mix. Luis Munoz, we heard before the Buena Vista Social Club, from his amazing Lose CD, just came out, and it just was so natural to think of Costa Rica, Luis's roots, interspersed with Cuban roots, to give you a taste of the global connotations of what jazz, etc., could be. Just to play Vals de la Luz, and Vals, V-A-L-S, translates into Waltz. Waltz of the Light, it was wonderful. And on that particular track, it was Adam Asarnau on piano solo, Tom Etchart on acoustic bass, George Friedenthal on the first half piano solo, Christopher Judge on acoustic guitars, and Luis, our good friend, on piano. An amazing work. Luis had a good time at NAMM. We mentioned that with Elgin Allen. And we, who missed it this year, cannot miss it next year because there's mucho dinero to be made at NAMM. Trust me when I say that to you in Los Angeles. Elgin Allen, my guest for the better part of an hour. Amazing trumpeter, actually a multi-instrumentalist. And you heard the track Freedom from Universal Language. Whew! He has such an amazing future in front of him. It's not even funny. He just doesn't even know. But we do, don't we? Oh, can't wait to hear all of the album. I was blessed to get three or four tracks. I'll be diving in and going to that CD release party to get my mitts on the whole thing. Claire Daly, she was also on the show a couple of months ago doing so well on the jazz charts with Baritone Monk. But we concentrated the day that Claire was here on her Mary Joyce project, Nothing to Lose. Mary Joyce, who was also known as Toppy, was one of those rare female creatures who was also Claire Daly's second cousin. Toppy thought it would be cool back in 1936 to be the first non-Alaskan, certainly the first female, to make the trek 1,000 miles to do the trail of dogs, as it were, to do the sled dog trails. And we'll dive into a little bit more of that, but I want to give you a sense of the peace and the vision of this project. The Mary Joyce Project, Nothing to Lose. This is a beautiful track called Guidance from Claire Daly on baritone sax. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Thank you. There's my girl. There she is, Gretchen Parlato. Bless her heart. Winter Wind from the Lost and Found. Just so amazing to hear that that woman is able to do and loves to do so much with her voice. When you see her on the stage, you realize that she does more than sing. She allows her body to become the instrument, the message. And it's a profound experience, honest to goodness. Anybody who can attest to seeing her last time at Ram's Head in Annapolis, packed house, woo, we were riveted. We just did not want her to leave the stage. She has such a gentle but strong presence, and people that she surrounds herself with, as you can imagine, are pretty staggering. Let us tell you that Gretchen, when you go to her website, it's amazing. You're going to always see something new. Right this minute, she is with Terry Lynn Carrington and Company in Poland. And didn't know this about Gretchen back in December. She did a really interesting fundraiser in Manhattan. Gretchen aligns herself with causes that she feels very deeply about, and this is called Free the Slaves, trying to eliminate slavery all over the world. You know, we don't necessarily think about people being enslaved, but they most certainly are. And this particular fundraiser last month really packed a punch because it was Gretchen, her friend Esperanza Spalding, it was Bobby McFerrin and Paul Simon. So they didn't get some second stringers to come along and do this. They made a lot of money, and hopefully they will raise a lot of awareness. Free the Slaves Foundation, I believe, is what you're looking for. If you go to Gretchen Parlato's website, you'll find out more. Miles Davis, we heard from Backyard Ritual, from the album in 1986 that was inspired by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, called Tutu on Warner Brothers. Originally, it was planned as a partnership with Prince. I'm not sure what happened there. Perhaps because there were two volatile personalities involved? I'm just saying. Anyway, the helm went to Marcus Miller, who was thrilling on bass in that particular track, Backyard Ritual, but also did the sax as well. Marcus Miller, in case you didn't know, multi instrumentalist. But why did I play that track? Well, because it was the track that George Duke produced. So you heard him on the keyboard on that very interesting arranging. Jason Miles was also part of that project, doing synthesizers and such. And together, all of these people made a pretty powerful song. Paulino da Costa as well on percussion. Woo! And, of course, had to play Miles Davis because I was thinking of Thelgen Allen. And, man, again, and I'll just say this one more time, if you happen to get a chance to see Thelgen on stage, as young as he is, he just conjures these visions of what Miles Davis could have been like at that age, or Clifford Brown, who was taken from us so young anyway, to see all that talent and energy and creativity infused in a human being is pretty special. So thanks to Thelgen Allen once again. Claire Daly, Guidance from her Mary Joyce project, Nothing to Lose. Just really wonderful, featuring Steve Hudson on piano. Again, a second cousin, Mary Joyce, a.k.a. Toppy, did her thing back in 1936. She wanted to be the first person, non-Alaskan, to do a solo dog sled journey, 1,000 miles, from Fairbanks, Alaska. And just a quirky, wonderful, passionate human being. And Claire, on baritone sax with these great folks assembled around her, wanted to get a particular moment of each part of that journey, including an intense love relationship that was part of it. Each song was a story. And Claire, whoa, all about jazz right before the end of the year did such a glowing review of Baritone Monk, which is her latest work, doing so well on the jazz charts. And you should know that Claire donated all proceeds from Baritone Monk and will continue to do that for the Monk Jazz Institute based in Washington, D.C., to pave the way for other young ones to learn and to grow and to make a career in jazz. She is something else, Claire Daly, and she was a wonderful interview if you get a chance to see her. And you might, especially if you're going to make plans coming in March to Blues Alley in Washington, she's going to be there. And maybe even a gig or two in the Baltimore area sometime in the summer. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Dexter Gordon, we are going to be hearing right now from his wonderful Sophisticated Giant CD, a favorite of many a person, including someone that you heard a little while ago, Ron Kearns, my good friend, who we heard do Quiet Nights. This is another one of those Brazilian songs that we love so well. And Dexter just had a field of imagination when he did How Insensitive. Coming up to follow Dexter, I am so proud to tell you that we'll hear from Verano. And they are multiple whammy first ballot nominations. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. 6 nominations. Small wonder that Verano had, 3,500 or so listens since their show here on Hybrid Jazz just a couple of weeks ago. Amazing. First, Dexter Gordon, let's do this. Oh, he certainly was a sophisticated giant. How Insensitive, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Waiting till that applause dies down. Holy cow. Every time I hear that song, and many people listening are the same way, when there's a pivotal song that was there during your years where you were so impressionable, this takes me back to Bishop McDevitt High School in Wincote, Pennsylvania, when Mary Patterson Swoyer, one of my best friends ever, used to listen to this with tears. Oh, how we pined for being on the road with John Mayall. Whoa, 1969, the year for that, if you can believe it. The Turning Point, the name of the album, and California, the name of the track. 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Oh, so, so glorious. Oh, my gosh. John Mayall on vocals, harmonica, slide guitar, Telecaster six-string guitar, tambourine and mouth percussion. John Mark on acoustic-style finger guitar. Steve Thompson on bass. Johnny Allman on tenor and alto sax, flute and mouth percussion. Johnny Allman. Lord have mercy. Those boys were fine, and mothers had to lock up their daughters across the United States because these bad boys from Britain really did it to us. Recorded at the Fillmore East, ladies and gentlemen. I rest my case. If you remember at all, if you are indeed as old as I am and can remember the times that they had there. Bill, thank you so much for those memories. Had to play that for Mary's birthday. My good friend Mary turned 61 the other day on January 27th. She doesn't care that I said her age, because we're the same age, and I talk about mine all the time. Hadn't been for Mary Swoyer back in the days of high school, don't know if I would have survived the Catholic nuns there, and a lot of people know what I'm saying right there. Mary was a trip. She still is a hippie, only the difference is that she lives sort of on the grounds of where the Philadelphia Folk Festival is in the Schwanksville area. Big, beautiful house, dogs, horses, a loving husband, a great family. God bless you, Mary. Love you, and I will always think of you whenever that song comes to pass. By the way, John Mayall will turn 80 this year. So, yeah, something to consider. Verano. Let us make sure that you know about Verano, and let us make sure that I play the music on hand, because we can. Yes, indeed. Daoud Said with his little outro music. Verano, Samba Triste from Jazz Samba Project. Lynn Verano and Ken and Pete and David are up for six whammies, Washington Area Music Association. Jeff Antoniak on that track. Jim McFalls on trombone. Also, oh my gosh, Alejandro Lucchini on percussion. So amazing. I am so proud of Lynn and Ken. They have had the most listens of anyone who has been on this show. Just tickled pink about it. And they'll have more to tell us, I'm sure, in the weeks and months ahead. Dexter Gordon, we heard How Insensitive from 1977, Sophisticated Giant, and Woody Shaw was on that particular album. Yeah. And so much to be said about that Joe Beam song and about Dexter Gordon, but we're running a little bit out of time. Just in time, though, to tell you that Corenza Gray will be with us, Thursday on the show. Long overdue. What a vocalist she is. I am just tickled pink that she's going to be with us. and great people ahead, not only Carenza, but in the days and weeks to come here on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you so much for being there, especially Beach and Amy and all the folks who gathered for Thelgen Allen. We'll see you on Thursday right here. God bless.